Howdy. Come on in. Come on in the house, y'all. Welcome. Coach MJ here. Welcome to Wednesday Q&A. If y'all were around yesterday, you know that Zoom was being an asshat, and today it is not being an asshat. They've gotten several lovely emails from me. Several. Several. I was happy to send them. That's what I was. I was happy to send them. And so Zoom is not an ass hat. And you know who else is not an ass hat? Coach Lizzie. She's here with us too today. She's gonna be in the chat with y'all in all caps. Which, you know, I'm thankful she's not an ass. She is like the farthest thing from an ass hat, Coach Lizzie. I just love her. And today we are going to be talking about breaking the snack zone habit. Where are all my sitting at night watching the Netflix, eating on the in the eating chair? Lizzie said that's the best compliment she's got all day. It's early, Lizzie. Hopefully it gets better from here than your boss calling you not an ass hat. So I hope your day gets better. All right. So we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk to you about a couple of things. Tomorrow, if you are on the fence about doing Coach Betsy's unwinding binge eating program, we are going to be adding to the calendar here in just a little bit, a call tomorrow at 11 Central that you can come to, or just email Betsy, you know, like email Betsy if you got any questions. But we'll be adding that if you want to. Betsy and I will be on chatting about the program and what you get and all those other things. So that's number one. But if that is not you and you're not a binge eater, don't fret, my pet. We got lots of stuff coming. So we are having on the 27th of this month, we are having a half a day workshop. It's like 3 or 4 hours, all about what a lot of us struggle with, nighttime eating, right? We're gonna work on nighttime eating. We're touching it on it right now, as far as like environmental kind of stuff. Like, how do you set yourself up to make not eating at night easier? We're gonna talk about that, or evening or afternoon, like your snack zone. For a lot of you, it's like I'm taking care of the kids, they go down for a nap. I eat then, like, you know, wherever your eating spot is. And then, so we've got that on the 27th. It's including your membership, y'all. You don't have to do a thing. All you got to do is click the link on your calendar and show up. Corinne's going to be teaching that. And then, we're going to be focused all on nighttime eating in the month of May. And then in June, it's what you have all been waiting for. We are doing a mini course the whole month on emotional eating. So we're going to get into this month we're doing like, let's set up our environment. Let's do all this other stuff. Like, let's get ourselves ready. Then next month we're going to be tackling the one time of day that the majority of our members say, this is my struggle, which is nighttime. And then we're going to broaden our horizons in June, all about nighttime eating. So super excited about that. Very excited about that. So that's what's coming up for y'all. And y'all don't have to do nothing but just, you know, show up, right? And then let us help you tackle emotional eating and let us help you lose all of your weight and feel as amazing as you deserve. But first, we're going to talk about this, like, you know, your snacking spot, AKA the eating chair. That's what I like to call it, the eating chair. So for a lot of us, so we spent last week sort of talking about cleaning up our environment, like our kitchen, like where our snacks are, where do they live, what happens, like how can we make it easier, like out of sight, out of mind? How can we put the foods that we want to have more of, like front of mind? I talked about like a protein drawer and different things. And then how can we put our snacks that we typically overeat, sort of like, you know, just a little bit more difficult to get to. We talked about that last week. So this week we're going to talk just for a few minutes, because this is a Q&A. So I'm going to answer your questions. So make sure you start putting those things in the Q&A in the chat. If you've got any questions, the Q&A I'm going to answer, and then Lizzie's over yonder in the chat. But So our brain loves it loves to put things on repeat because our brain, one of its number one jobs, other than to keep us safe, is to make things easy for us. And how does it make things easy for us? It puts things on a habit loop. The same reason that sometimes you're driving to Target and you've been there 50,000 times and you just end up at Target and you're like, how the fuck did I get to Target? I don't even remember my drive. It's because you do it often and your brain has put it on a habit loop. Same thing happens for nighttime snacking or naptime snacking if it's for your kids, or right after work snacking or that transition snack, whatever it is. That time, your time of day, right? It loves a good habit loop, loves to make things easy. And so here's what happens. You put your kids down for a nap. I'm going to talk about nighttime eating because for a lot of us, that's what it is. But you finally get everybody situated. Dinner is over. The dishes are clean. The dishwasher is loaded. You have been answering to your boss, your kids, your partner all day long. And it is finally time for yourself. So one time a day, you've let yourself have time for yourself. And you go and you sit down in the eating chair where you always sit, and you turn on your show, whatever it is, or you open that book, or you start playing a game on your phone, or you start watching Instagram reels, or you start watching TikToks, whatever you do. And then your brain is like, something missing. Oh, I know. We have a snack every night. That's what's missing. This doesn't feel very comfortable because this is all these things happen and we snack. So then you get up, you go back and you get your snack, and then you sit down, and then you have this feeling of like all is right in the world. Nothing is missing here. I got my TikToks, I got my eating chair, I got my snack. Ain't nobody gonna ask me a question. Here I am. And you get this calm feeling over you because your brain is finally like, thank God she has given us everything we've ever wanted. Here we are in our eating chair with our blanket. Maybe you've de-broad, as I like to do in the evenings. You got like just you're wrapped up and it's so comfortable. So here's what we're gonna do for nighttime snacking. You need to interrupt your habit loop. The easiest way to do that is to move seats. Get out of your eating chair. Move. Just move. I used to have a private client who she said I didn't move far. I'm just eating chair adjacent. And she was shocked just by moving one cushion over on the couch, what a difference it made. Okay? Just eating chair adjacent. You don't have to move into another room. You don't have to do all of that. It's just like you've just moved seats. That's enough to trigger your brain to that this is going to be different. This time is going to be different. Here's the other problem that we run into. You get on these calls, and I get all cheerleady and I cuss a little bit and I get loud and I yell at people. And you're like, yes, tonight's going to be so different. I'm going to get in a different chair and I'm going to, it's going to be different. And then you get there. And guess what happens? It's a little uncomfortable. And you're like, wait, not supposed to be uncomfortable. I've made this decision. I'm very excited about this decision. I don't know why. This should feel easy. No, it shouldn't. You've got a habit of sitting in that chair, in that spot, doing the same thing for years. It is gonna feel like something is missing. You're gonna feel like your brain's like, you should go get something to eat. This is not right. Go get back in that eating chair. This isn't where you sit. Why are you sitting here? We are comfortable over there. Don't be sitting over here. It's gonna feel different and it's gonna feel uncomfortable. Why? Because your brain loves a habit loop. It loves to put things on repeat. So when you move out of that habit loop, your brain is gonna turn on toddler mode. Because you've worked all day and now it's got to make some decisions. It's got to have some, you're gonna have to make some decisions. You're gonna have some conversations with it. You've got to decide what you're going to think and do instead. So it is going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And in that moment, a great thing to do instead of going back into the kitchen to eat is pull out your phone, go on our website, go to Ask Coaches, and type us. Here's what's going on for me right now. Not feeling very comfortable. Just describe it to us. You can also go on your phone onto our website, go to the video replays, type in Kathy, how to feel the hard stuff without eating. Do some deep breathing, do some stuff to calm yourself. And you're still not, it's gonna be strange at first, y'all. I wish I had like a magic wand and like words of wisdom. I wish it did. But I don't have that. When you're gonna develop a new habit or you're gonna get out of the habit of eating at night, there's gonna be some days of discomfort. And the first day or two are gonna feel like hell uncomfortable. And then you're gonna get some wins under your belt. And you're going to start to think things like, oh my God, I did it. I did it one night. I thought I couldn't, and I did. I bet I can try it again tonight. And then the next night, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, two nights. That's amazing. Maybe I can do this. Sherry says, what if you don't know the feeling? Take a guess. Take a guess. Just pick one. And I bet you that's it. So probably uncomfortable. It could be bored. It could be, it's either what you're feeling or what you think the food will make you feel. Because a lot of us at night, we want to feel peaceful, relaxed. So you think that the food gives you that feeling. So it might not even be. It could be the discomfort that you're wanting to get away from, and you're telling yourself that the food will make you calm. The food will make you more comfortable. The food will help you relax. And the truth of the matter is, food is amazing and it will calm you for a second. But once the food is gone, the discomfort comes back, and then you've got guilt, and then you've got regret. That all come along for the ride. Yeah, and then Lizzie did include the link to the feelings wheel, which is amazing. For those of you who do not like are not used to feeling your feelings, that is a great place. Just you can look around and be like, oh, I think that might be it. Just identify something. For me, I'm not a feeler. There are people on this team that are great feelers. I'm not. I like to tamp them down sometimes. I'm not the greatest feeler of feelings. And I have gotten more just better at my feelings. But for a lot of people at first, it's like, do I feel more happy or sad? Give yourself the opposites. Am I happy or sad? Am I like angry? Like, am I upset or am I content? Like, give yourself some exact opposites. And those feelings wheels, you'll see the exact opposites on there. And then just start to identify, like, which side of the wheel am I on? Like, where am I living? Let me see. And then Lizzie did say, I'm going to read it out for those of us listening to the podcast who do not have the benefit of the chat right in front of us. Lizzie says, one tool I use with one of my private clients is when she's having trouble sitting with her feelings is this. Step one, ask yourself, what am I feeling? We just talked about that. Take a guess, right? Like, just take a guess. I'm allowed to feel whatever it is. I don't have to figure out why I'm feeling it. That's so good. Like, sometimes we just feel shit because we're feeling it. I am allowed to feel it. That feeling is allowed to be here. And then often we don't even acknowledge our feelings. So sitting with them feels like too much. Just naming it and allowing it to be there can be a step in that direction. I love that, Lizzie. Somebody says, Jennifer says they have a recommendation, How We Feel app. They categorize feelings in four quadrants. See, that's what I was talking about. Like, start a little bit more broad if you're not used to feeling your feelings, and then you can dial it in. High energy pleasant, low energy unpleasant, low energy pleasant, low energy unpleasant. I like that. Oh, and then Christy, y'all have some great tips here in this chat. So if you're listening to the podcast or you are listening on the website in the video replay, we do have the chat available to you there. So pull up the chat and read some of these. But Christy says, I use the acronym HALT, HALT, tells me to pause, then ask if I'm hungry, anxious, angry, or tired. I love that. I love that. Okay. So that is what I have for you. First of all, try to switch up your habit loop. Okay. So whether it is sitting in a different chair, that's always a really good one to try first, or adding a different activity in. So I got paint by numbers, y'all. I started painting by numbers for a while there. At night, which was amazing. It was a great like distraction to kind of add to my evening routine. It kind of, if you're painting by numbers, you can't really be eating. And I would turn my show on and then paint by numbers. I did that for a while. Still sat in my same eating chair, but I noticed that my urges did go down some just because I was doing something else. So you can try that. And then know that it's gonna feel a little uncomfortable at first. It just is. It's not going to feel amazing. And when you get yourself out of that habit loop in the evenings, your habit brain is going to turn on because it's like something's not aligned. It's going to want to get you back into the habit loop. Okay? You can go in the Facebook group, be like, I'm having an urge right now. I'm not going to eat. I am feeling a little bit anxious, or I'm feeling a little bit nervous, or I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I'm feeling tired, or I'm feeling whatever it is. And there are always people in Facebook group. We got members in Australia. They're there in the middle of the night. When I'm asleep, they're awake. So that is a great place to go for help as well. Oh, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And then Ray said she even has a digital paint by numbers. We have got just bought an old-fashioned word search. I love that so much. Love that. What to do if you're at the office? So that's a great question, Debbie. What you want to do if you are at your office is go and look, really just deep breathing for a minute. You can even go to the bathroom if you need to and take a few deep breaths. Just kind of remove yourself from the situation in which you always, kind of get in the habit loop. You start picking, you start doing whatever. Go to the bathroom. If you can get out and go for a walk, that would be amazing. If you could go sit in your car for a second, listen to a podcast, just to kind of calm yourself down just a little bit. Just step away from that environment, from that habit loop. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I worked in an office. I lost my weight working in a nursing home slash rehab as a physical therapist. There was food there all the time. All the time. And I would just go walk through the building sometimes, like I was looking for a patient, but I would just be walking around. Somebody says, go fill up your water bottle. Yes. And so that is a great way to just kind of distance yourself from it just a minute. And I can literally be on a Zoom meeting, not me running this call, obviously, but in another meeting with the coaches or with Corinne or whatever, marketing, whatever it is. And I can, for me, I like to ground myself. I'll take my shoes off, put them on the floor, put my feet on the floor. That's under my desk. Nobody would know at all, at all. I could just, you don't have to close your eyes and take deep breaths. You can just slow your breathing down just a little bit in the middle of a meeting. We do not have to go. And like light a candle and do a chant. Like it seriously is. Like if I'm sitting here and I'm listening to y'all and I have my hand over my heart, nobody knows. Your boss is not gonna be like, why the hell you put your hand over your heart? No, I'm just sitting here. Take a deep breath. Nobody will be the wiser. Nobody. Anonymous says, I'm wrapping up Goals Mastery. That was a small group coaching program that we offered for a couple times, actually. It has been amazing. Yes, Lizzie ran that. Are there going to be any future Goals Mastery courses? There are none on the calendar as of now. Let's see. Jean Banning says, you mentioned grounding your feet. Have you tried any of the grounding mats or sheets that keep popping up on my Facebook feed? I have not. I do know that just taking my shoes off and putting them, I wear bedroom shoes all day. So I don't have on socks or anything. So I can put my feet on the cold ground. So that is very helpful to me. I also have right here, I have an electric blanket right here. So if I'm rolling on it right now, I have an electric blanket. So if I get to feeling uncomfortable, it's like my safety. Coach Judith bought me this blanket, if y'all remember Coach Judith. And I just turn it on and I wrap my legs up in it. Feels great whenever I do that. I do enjoy doing that as well. Like I have things to keep me comfortable here too. There are times I'm uncomfortable. There are times, I mean, yesterday, y'all, when Zoom took a dump and was being an ass hat, I'm gonna tell y'all. The first thought that came to my mind was what? Food. It is still my first thought, probably 70% of the time. Still. Because why? Because for 40 something years, that was the only tool I had. That was it. And that is still the first thing my brain offers up. Always, not always, about 70% of the time. It just is. Not a problem. I know why it's there. I know it's because I want a break from whatever I'm feeling. And I had to remind myself yesterday, Zoom is still an ass hat. I can go in there, I can get some chips or I can get some chocolate because it's all in there for me. It's all in there. It's right there. I can go in there and get that. I can get some nuts. Zoom's still an ass. Me giving away my weight loss to my Zoom issue is not going to solve anything, but it makes sense that I want to eat. Always. And Karen says there's definitely a part of my brain that assures me food always works. Damn liar. But here's the thing, Karen, it will work for a second. It's your whoobie. It's your pacifier. It works for a second. I mean, I don't want to just say like food is not the answer. Food is an answer to calm your nerves because it's been your answer for a long time. But it's the only answer you've had. Now we're trying to give you other answers. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass and say food won't make you feel better for a minute because God bless it does. Pam says the back end of the food transaction is not what I want. I love that so much, Pam. And it's not the problem. It's not the ultimate problem solver. It's a momentary problem solver. Feel, it's not even a problem solver. It's a feeling solver. It just turns the dial down just for a minute. And then guess what? If I would have gone in there and gotten chips and taken 2 or 3 minutes to shove it in my face, all of those angry, pissed off, like wanting to throw shit feelings would have come roaring back. And all of those, like, you know, I'm saying calories that I would have consumed with the chips, they're all still there. Why do I want to add chips to it? I don't need to invite chips to the party. I was still mad at Zoom today. I cannot eat that away. I wanted to be angry at Zoom yesterday. They messed with my fucking women. I want to be pissed. I do not want to turn it off with some fucking chips. I want to go to war for y'all in Zoom. Because anger for me yesterday was exactly what I needed to be. Because when I'm angry for y'all, Guess what my email shows them? Don't fuck with my membership. Do not fuck with my people. Because I wanted anger. I wanted to go in there ready to battle for y'all. Because I ain't, don't fuck with my people. I'm just saying. Oh, girl. It is okay to be. I needed anger. I didn't want to be calm and go in there and email. I understand what happened. Oh, hell no. Do you want me? I'll tell you the first message I sent yesterday was to Corinne and Chris's assistant. This is the first message. I opened up Zoom. We have no Zoom. Those motherfuckers have turned off our GD webinar again. First thing I said, anger. Anger. Yeah, I was mad. Yeah, it was something. Oh, yeah, thank you, Kristen. I'm helping you get your water in. But sometimes we want to feel those things, right? I don't want to turn it off with food. I want to be mad. Somebody messes with my kid. Guess what? Don't catch me eating. I'm going somewhere and I'm talking to somebody. And I'm able to feel those. I want you to think about the last time you were so pissed at somebody. It got you into action. We have all had times that we grieve. Think about being at a funeral. I went to my grandmother's funeral and I was so sad. Y'all, it was a terrible day. Guess what happened? I did not sit and eat through it. I did not have chips sitting through a funeral. It proves to me that I can feel sad and not eat. Right? I want you to think about being in a meeting and your boss calls you to the mat for something. Something you screwed up, because God bless, I've done it too. Just that feeling of discomfort, like that angst, that anxiety. Did you say, can you imagine me saying to Corinne, oh, please hold. Let me go get some chocolate. I'm able to sit there. If I'm able to sit through that, I can sit through the discomfort of habit eating at night. If I can sit through a funeral, if I can sit through my boss showing me that I've done something wrong without grabbing something to eat, I prove to myself, like, think about, we've all been in, well, a lot of us have gotten a speeding ticket or gotten in an accident, right? In our car. And then we all jazzed up. Do we tell the person, oh, wait, Taco Bell is right here. Let me go over here and grab a taco before I can handle this situation? No, we don't. We handle it in the moment. We do not run for food. And if we can do that when we're actually like feeling way heightened, then we can sit with the discomfort during our eating window because we have done it so many times before. I know we can. I know we can figure it out. If we can do it during those times, we can definitely do it when we are in our pajamas, sitting on our couch, in our own homes, watching Netflix. I know it is possible because we have the power to do it because we have done it. And when you're sitting there thinking, this is too hard, I need to get a snack, you can remind yourself, I have felt big feelings before and not eaten over them. I have. It wasn't comfortable then, but it's not going to be comfortable now, but it's okay too. It's okay. I'm safe. I'm going to put my hand over my heart. I'm going to take a few deep breaths. That doesn't mean I'm not going to want ice cream, but I'm going to be okay in the wanting of the ice cream. I'm going to be okay. And that is where we have to get to. Just like somebody said in the chat, I just love that so much. Like, it's the other side of it I don't love. I don't love the other side. I don't like the downside of it. That we've got to play our movie forward, y'all. If I choose to eat right now, I can. What am I gonna feel after? How am I gonna feel right before I go to bed? Do I want that? We gotta play it forward, y'all. We gotta stop living right here in this food moment. We don't do it anywhere else. We don't do it anywhere else. You know, I'm going through physical therapy right now. Today, I could have walked out that damn building. He stretched me out like I was, I don't know, Elastiband. I don't know what he was doing to me. I just want to run. It was painful and uncomfortable. I did not grab a snack. I didn't grab a snack. I have a lot of proof that I can do a lot of hard shit. I can feel a lot of hard feelings and not eat. All right. God, that went way off, girl. That just, you know, sometimes I go off. I don't even know if this is on topic anymore. I feel like Corinne. I feel like Corinne right now. I've just gone way rogue. I need a chip. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. What is this call even about? Anonymous says, if I use snacks to deal with overwhelming feelings sometimes, I see now that it's linked with anxious feelings in the wheel. Can you help me brainstorm ideas to get out of that state as I'm working from home? Number one, Anonymous, it's what we talked about last week. If you were here, clean up your environment in your kitchen because I work from home. I get it. So the things that I don't want to just go grab, my go-to foods for like anxiety, stress, like the things that my brain offers up are a little bit more difficult for me to get to. They're not just right sitting. You know what I mean? So you do want to give yourself those pauses because if you're always used to running to the kitchen, like mindlessly, basically, be like, and then here I am. Next thing I know, I'm a half a bag of chips in. You want to set up your environment to include that pause when it's not something that you've ever done before. That's always number one, because you want to set yourself up for success. You want to at least give yourself a chance to make a different choice. Now, you may make the same choice, and that's okay. But you want to at least give yourself like a head start, right? Just a little bit of help. So then go ahead, like I was talking about, take your shoes off. If you're like me, you don't have to wear socks. Put your feet flat on the ground. Put your hand over your heart. Take a few deep breaths. I'm just overwhelmed right now. Of course, I want to eat. Yeah, I do. I've always eaten because I'm overwhelmed. But the food ain't going to solve for it. Like, why am I overwhelmed? What do I think I can't figure out right now? What do I think is wrong right now? Just feeling overwhelmed. For me, I have my calendar up all the time on my thing. I have to look. Like, there's a lot of shit that happens. There's a lot of stuff that happens during my day. And then people are like, oh, can we meet? Oh, can we do this? Oh, can. And I see these messages come in. I'm like, when the fuck am I gonna do that? Hell, I don't know. But if I have my calendar up, I have that initial thought of where? Where am I even gonna meet with this person? And then I look at my calendar. I'm like, oh, right there. I see that little spot. It calms me down. So, especially at work, keep a calendar. See that everything has a place. Everything has a spot. Now, yesterday, when all that stuff happened, did I have to rearrange things? Yeah, I did. But whenever I have everything on the calendar, I'm like, oh, I can definitely move that. Like that, yeah, I can move that down a little bit. That's very helpful to kind of calm yourself down. And a lot of times, overwhelm, like if you ever read Brené Brown's book, what's it called? About the feelings. What's her name? Her book called? Anyway, she says that overwhelm is like because you keep telling yourself you don't know what to do next. For me, I'm like, whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm like, I am willing to just pick one thing. I'm because it's all got to get done anyway, right? Everything's got to get done. Just pick one thing and go. What if there's no wrong answer at this point? Do something. So that's one thing you can do, especially at work. So Anonymous also says, I'm having a lot of depression and extreme sadness with all of the drama in my life, two deaths of family members and dysfunctional relationship. My question, should I get a psychiatrist or will private coaching help me with dealing with my feelings? Great question. So here is the difference between coaching and a psychiatrist. And I will be honest, a lot of members who are in private coaching, I would say half Atlas of the Heart. Thank you, Coach Lizzie. That's Brené Brown's book. A lot of our private clients, probably half at least, have a psychiatrist and they're working with us in private coaching. So there's that. So it's not an either-or sort of a situation. If you are noticing that this sadness is keeping you from participating in your life, you just can't get out of bed. It's like a true clinical depression, not just the blues, right? But if it is stopping you, I would get to work on that first, right? To kind of to get you to a level that we can even start to work on where you want to go. But if you've had two deaths, family members and dysfunctional relationships, I would 100% get into private coaching. Absolutely. And I would also consider getting just going to a psychiatrist or even just talking to your doctor. I know for me, which listen, I am not a medical doctor. I was just a physical therapist in a nursing home. But for me, when my grandmother passed away, and other times during my life, there have been periods of time where I've had to go on medication for depression. I didn't have to stay on it long term. But you may even just be able to talk to your family doctor if you need something like that as well. That's a great first place to start. Because I've had to do it several times because it is chemical, right? It is not just all, your circumstances, then you have some thoughts, and then you have some feelings, and you do shit because of it. No, there are, chemical things that go on inside of your brain. I have a child with bipolar and anxiety and depression and OCD and all the things. She needs medication. She's got a chemical imbalance. And sometimes we are down in the dumps because something is going on in our life, and we are able to use thought work. We are able to look at those sorts of things. And then sometimes we need some help. And that's okay too. It just is. There is no shame in that. So I would do both, actually. Email me, Anonymous, and let me know if you want to do private coaching. I'm going to talk to you a little bit and make sure I get you the exact right coach for you. Because I want to make sure that everything is, especially if you've got other depression issues and things going on, I will take care of you personally and make sure that you get the exact right coach for you. So you email me. I'm gonna hook you up. I'll take care of you. Christy Larson says, can you talk about ways to normalize having urges? I logically know they are normal, but I still think of them as negative, not neutral most of the time, especially at night when I'm tired. Oh, I love that so much. So, but I want you to think about not food urges, other urges. My daughter emailed me yesterday. J. Crew's having a big sale if anybody wants to know about it. Lots of stuff on sale. And I've decided not to spend money this month. It's my plan. Guess what I had a lot of urges for? Shop. Shop so bad I couldn't stand it. There's that. I went to an event yesterday with my Botox lady. And I wanted to buy a bunch of like Botox and shit, and I didn't. It's a lot of urges going on there. Lots. Right? I have urges to get up and leave my desk just because I don't want to work anymore. I have urges to avoid work. Right? Because why? Because your brain wants to make things easy. So when you come up against something that is going to give you a feeling of discomfort or a feeling of like whatever, and you got to work through it. Your brain is like, girl, we could go do something else. Let's go do something else. Or you don't want to feel this? I got your answer, girl. It's food. I got you. We are programmed to make things easy and not feel hard. So urges is your body's way to try to get you to take the easy road. Because it's the brain and it's keeping you safe and it's doing what brains do. You have a normal brain if you've got urges. And it wants to make you feel better, right? Like whenever you got an urge to like ram in the back of a car that's like acting stupid. I had an urge to punch my physical therapist this morning when he was hurting my arm because I wanted it to stop. My brain was like, if you just tell him no and run out of here, it's going to quit hurting. Because your brain wants to make it easy. And that's the only reason they're there, is your brain taking care of you. You could also say, welcome. I know you're trying to, girl, I know you're trying to take care of me, but I'm trying to do things a little bit different. Come on. And you just don't want, when you have an urge, the goal is to recognize it. You know, because I see all the time and ask coaches, I'm trying to resist the urge. Don't resist the urge. It's there. It is your brain saying, I'm functioning. I'm doing my job. I'm helping take care of you. I want to make things easy. You know what you do, Christy, at that point? You buckle it up in the passenger seat and you're like, okay, come on, come with me. Let's go together. I know you're just doing your job. I appreciate you keeping me safe. God bless. But I'm going to do this other thing anyway. And we're going to go together. Come on, let's go. Let's go. We'll go together. Like Thelma and Louise. Thank you, Christy. Just like Thelma, but we're not driving off a cliff, right? We're just gonna go. We're just going and not going in a pantry. Yes. Let's see. You just reminded me of what I used to say to myself. I'm an emergency department nurse practitioner, so I used to ask myself, if I do meth right now, would I have an urge? Yeah, would I do meth? No. We're good, right? And the urge is not bad. We have always used an urge to indicate a problem. An urge is just there to let us know that we're trying something different. That's it. Just hanging out, like, hey, MJ, you know, we usually do it this way. You're like, yeah, I hear you. I understand. I got you, boo. But we're not gonna do it that way right now. But I hear you. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I know, Alicia, if we would talk more, she said, I'm gonna start talking to my urges. Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Totally off topic, Mary Beth. Is that a candle on a mug warmer on your table? It's a candle warmer, my kids told me. Yeah, that's what it is. I like it. I like that thing. This is from the overwhelm earlier. Thank you. So helpful. And I always get everything done anyway. The calendar can help me think. It's going to get done without feeling overwhelmed with endless lists of things to do. I love that so much. Yeah. Like we got to just start like it's normal to have these feelings. How do we calm a child having a tantrum? We can do that for ourselves. And the other thing, Joanne, I love that you said that. I always like our brain is going to take us down a path, right? Like so often. And I always equate it to having a toddler in the Target parking lot. You're holding your little toddler's hand, and you're just going around and it sees something and then it jerks away and it takes off running and you go after you're like, come back here. That is not okay. Stay with me. And then it pulls away again and then you go get it. I'm saying it. Get the child, whatever. And you're like, I told you to stay with me. We are not gonna run in the streets. What happens on the third time? Be like, fine. You know what? You want to go get hit by car. Hate it for you. No, we will chase that child as many times as we need to chase that child to keep it safe. Are we willing to go after our brain as many times as it takes? Because what happens when you first take the child out of the stroller, out of the buggy, and you let them walk in the parking lot, they run off 50, 11 times. And you bring them back, and they run off and come back and run off and come back, run off and come back. After a few times, what happens? They know they're not supposed to run off. So they quit running off as much. You don't have to go get them as often. And then you can get them a leash if you need to, but it gets easier. They get with the program. They understand the rules. We're going to stay here with mom or auntie. We understand that now. We know we don't go run off. So you have to go get them less and less and less. Same thing with our urges. Yes, when you start to try to change your relationship with nighttime or that eating window, whatever it is, you're trying to change your habit of even writing a plan or drinking your water. Any of these habits that we're trying to change, your brain is going to squirrel off and squirrel off and squirrel off. You go back and get it every time. And then finally, it's like, oh, damn, she's serious about this water, yo. It ain't no joke. And it starts getting more and more quiet and more quiet until it gets easier and easier and easier. But you got to put up with that loud toddler at first. It's loud. It's like, girl, this is not how we do this. We do it this way. We've done this way for years. The hell's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? We go over here, we do it this way, we eat here. And you're like, no, we don't. Not now. Sure don't. We used to. Not today. And then tomorrow they'll be like, we pitched a hissy. She still didn't eat tonight. And maybe it gets a little bit quieter. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, this is so good. Anonymous says, can you talk about the urge to stuff my face after I get home from work? I'm not hungry, but I want to eat all the good food after work when I'm alone. You got to go into what you're thinking, Anonymous. I deserve this. It's been a long day. This is going to help me relax. I finally get a minute to myself. What are you telling yourself in that moment? That is what is driving you to the food, as well as it's probably a habit. Like you've got a couple of mix in there, right? It's what you've always done. You've always answered those thoughts of whatever it is. I deserve this. Nobody can tell me what to do anymore. I can do whatever I want now. You know, my boss can't tell me anymore. I'm so sick of taking orders all day. The rebel eater. Whatever it is, we have to go back to what we're telling ourselves. It has to happen. You're probably looking for relaxation, maybe. This is going to help me relax. This is going to make me feel better. I finally get to do what I want to do. We're going through all of the types of overeaters in June for sure. But for now, we've got to figure out what you're telling yourself. Got to. How is it that I can ignore hunger in the middle of the night, but during the day, it's like a 5 alarm fire? You've probably never been a nighttime eater, so you don't have habit looped in there with it. Because we do have members that are like, how can I do so good with hunger during the day, but at night when I wake up hungry, I go eat like a raccoon raiding the trash can? So here's what you want to do. During the day, it's a 5 alarm fire. So one thing you want to do is make sure you're not waiting too long for hunger. That's number one. Because maybe you're ignoring it. Because for a lot of us being on diets for years, we have, honest to gosh, not listened to our bodies for so freaking long. We have not listened. We like to shut up. Not listening to you. And then finally, your brain doesn't even give you the cue that you're hungry until you are starving. It's 100% could be happening. So you want to make sure you get those subtle cues. before you like actually feel the stomach growl, go back through the am I hungry and make sure, and I don't remember, if I should know every module and all that, and I know BS weight loss, don't tell my boss. But anyway, go back to the one that talks about am I hungry. We have a cheat sheet in there that will help you look at other cues other than like that physical stomach growling, I'm starving kind of a thing. The other thing you can do, if you're not used to doing that, make sure that you set alarms on your phone during the day, asking your just to say, am I hungry? Like, if you know that you eat typically, like I haven't eaten yet. It's 11:50. I'm hungry. Your girl's hungry. It's 11:50 Eastern. I am hungry. Wasn't very hungry before this call. But I will eat after this call. But I am noticing right now, it could be from the yelling. I don't know. Like a little dull headache. Right now, my stomach really isn't growling though. So I have to pay attention to those subtle cues. If I wait for my stomach to growl and tell me, it is like I am in trouble. I am literally starving. By that point, you really want to check in with those small hunger cues during the middle of the day. Yeah, or your PT, that could be it. But I do get my stitches out this afternoon. There's that. Don said, I start yawning and getting tired if I'm hungry. I notice for me, I can't focus as well. Like I start to like, task shift. I want to like go from one thing to the next. I notice that. W. Brown said, I learned when I worked in child welfare that we can actually completely lose our cues by not listening. We had starving babies that stopped crying to eat because they lost their hunger signals. Do you know I did physical therapy, home health, after I left the rehab? I did. There was this precious child one time, and it is sad. I've seen it happen. I was like, is that babe? Like, I didn't even know she had a child. And I was like, the hell? And she said, yeah, she used to cry all the time. She's quit crying. It's because she had ignored her hunger cues for so long, she did not recognize them. But we do that. It is sad in that instance. And it's sad when it's a baby, but how long have we done that to ourselves as adults? How long have we done that to ourselves as adults? We've done it to ourselves, y'all. We have literally heard the hunger, but been out of points, but been out of calories, but been out of macros, but overate at lunch. So we had to starve ourselves for dinner because we were bad. And now here we are in the, 30s and 40s and 50s. 60s, 70s, whatever it is. And we're like, I can't identify hunger. Yes, because we have ignored it for so long. Our body was like, we need food. And we're like, but we don't have calories left. We don't have carbs left. We don't have macros left. We were bad at lunch. Or I know we're starving, but we got to save up for dinner. And finally, our brain is like, well, fine then. Damn. Shit. I just quit telling you until I'm literally about to fall out. And then maybe I'll bring it up. But Nancy, I want you to watch that now. I got so freaking big because I did not ignore my hunger cues. You did ignore them. You ignored them by not waiting for them. Right? That's part of it too. Because what happened, here's the loop that we get into, y'all. We ignore them until they shut off. And then we have a fear of being hungry because we have starved ourselves for years and years and years. And then we turn into Miss Scarlet. As God is my witness, I will never be hungry again. And then we eat. Then we eat. And we eat because we don't want to feel that way. And we get scared of feeling hungry. We are fearful of it because we have ignored it for so long. And then we're like, I am never going to feel that way again. Fuck you, hunger. I've starved myself for 30 years and I'm still overweight. So I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And it's like, fine, don't. I won't even tell you. And then we're like, oh my God, I remember that last night when I was so hungry. I was getting lightheaded and I was doing all this stuff. I said, I'm never going to do that again. And so we leave home and we're scared to death. We got to pre-eat. We got to pre-eat. Because what if we get hungry? Because we swore we would never be hungry again. And then we get all fucked up. That's the loop that we got on, y'all. We got to get off. And if you notice, every single thing is not physical. It's not following an app. It is not following calories. It is your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. That is why we never, ever, ever could follow anything before no BS. It never took that us into account. Never. We had to go by the app. Hunger be damned. We had to go by the app. Bad day be damned. We had to go by what they told us to do. Nobody gave a crap if our kids were sick. Nobody gave a crap if we were sick. Nobody gave a crap if we were tired. It didn't take into account our life. And so what would happen? Life with life, as life often does. And then we would get off that app. Well, I'll get back to that later. I'll do my counting, but right now, girl, I ain't got time to count for shit. And the next thing you know, you're 40 pounds up. Can't even remember what the hell the app is. If it was as easy as following an app and following a plan and not dealing with our emotions, we would all be sitting topless on a beach drinking a pina colada. Just would be. But life be lifin'. Life be lifin'. Shit happens. People pass away. We get depressed. And without that, without no BS here, showing you how to feel uncomfortable, how to feel an urge, how to change your habits. Not just an app, but what happens when life lives? When you think those things and you feel those things, that's what makes it different, y'all. That's why that shit didn't work. That's why it didn't. And that's what we're going to figure out. That's what we're here to figure out. What happens when you're depressed? What happens when you're sad? What happens when you're overwhelmed? What happens when somebody pisses you off? What happens when your shoulder hurts? What happens when you just want to give up? What happens when your brain is like, it would be so much easier? I mean, look, you've been feeling a lot of shit lately. We've been working through emotion. You should just quit and go back to eating because that's the easy road. And you're like, no, I'm going to finally figure out the root cause of my overeating, the root cause of why I've been eating, the root cause of why I can't wait for hunger, the root cause of why I always am turning to chips after a long day. I'm going to figure this shit out from the root. That's what I'm gonna do in no BS. That's what we're gonna do in. That's what we've done in no BS. All right. Damn. I don't even know. I didn't even know what this call was supposed to be about, y'all. But here we are, nearing the end. Any other questions? Oh, Lord have mercy. Anonymous says, what do I eat? I'm so used to buying fattening food. My husband wants the junk food. I need to go food shopping and don't know what to buy. I'm afraid to eat. Girl, this is what I'm going to tell you. Anonymous, are you new to no BS? Tell me, yes or no. Are you new? All right. I don't know if you're new or not, but everybody needs to hear this. So I just want to know at what, like, you know, what direction we're coming. Oh, she's new. Anonymous, welcome to no BS. Welcome. Coach MJ just sitting here screaming at people. Sorry about that. When you go through the no BS weight loss course, we teach you good, better, best. Okay? So good foods are the fattening. I ain't even gonna call them fattening foods, right? Because nuts are fattening and they're healthy, right? Like there are foods that have a high caloric value that are super healthy for you. Okay, so there's that, number one. But you're talking about good foods. As Corinne would say, they just taste amazing in your mouth. They're like, damn, avocado is another good example. That's exactly right. So they just taste great. You ain't gonna, you know, they're our go-to. They're the foods we're talking about. The ones that we go to the pantry for when we're having a shitty day, and they just comfort our soul, right? Like they're just good foods. They just taste amazing. Then you've got better foods, which taste amazing, and then, you know, have some nutritional value and like will help you lose weight. And then we've got best foods, which are like, you know, what you would probably in past diets call healthy, right? They taste great. They fuel your body. They're going to help you lose weight. They're amazing, blah, blah, blah. The only bad foods and no BS are foods that you're allergic to, that you absolutely hate. Like Coach Kathy hates beets. So beets would make Coach Kathy's bad food list. My husband's from Iran. Every once in a while for breakfast, they'll boil up a goat head. That's bad for me. That would be on my bad food list. Also, if you're like, if something makes you shit your pants, if you got a gluten allergy and gluten makes you shit your pants, bad food, right? We'll call those bad because they're bad for you. They might not be bad for me, but they might be bad for you. So, what I want you to see at first, I do not want for you to change a thing. What do you eat? You eat exactly what you're eating right now. Don't change a thing. Y'all buy chips and popcorn and ice cream and whatever, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Keep buying it. I know. What diet is this? You're like, what planet have I landed on, MJ? You've landed on the No BS Island. Welcome. You will not be voted off. Here's the thing. What you'll notice in No BS is I want you to go through the No BS weight loss course. This is for everybody. Anybody that's getting stuck on food, good food, bad food, blah, all that crap. I want you to work on doable hunger first. That's a first thing we talk about. So you get the quick start guide when you first join. Well, everybody does. It's at the top of the page when you go to the No BS weight loss course. Put a link in here, Lizzie, for her. And so you'll see the quick start guide. I want you to download that. You can download, you can fill it digitally. You can print it, whatever you want to do. Or you can even write on a sheet of paper if you don't want to do either of those things. And at the end of the day, what you're going to do is you're going to write down what you ate. We're not planning. We ain't planning yet. Ain't nobody planning in here. We don't plan until way on later. So what you're going to do is you're going to write down at the end of the day, I ate what I ate for breakfast. French toast. I'm making shit up. I don't know. French toast and bacon. And then it's going to ask you, did you wait for hunger when you ate your French toast and bacon? You're going to say yes or no. And then, did you stop it enough when you ate your French toast with bacon? Yes or no? You tell us. Tell you. It's on your sheet of paper. Then you just do that. You go through the No BS weight loss course. You start really focusing on, am I hungry? Have I had enough? That's it. Because here's the thing. You've already been eating these foods, right? Anonymous, you've been eating them all along. So, you've been eating them, but what you've been doing that we're going to work on here at first is you've been overeating them. So we're going to eat what we've been eating. We ain't changing none of that. None of that gets changed. You eat what you've been eating all along, but you just now you're going to wait for hunger and stop it enough. Nothing changes. No food changes. And this goes against everything you know. We're going to upend your whole diet. Like it's going to upend it, right? It's going to be like, whoo, what is this food? And then your husband, let me tell you what's going to happen. Because you've been on thousands of diets. And then you're going to tell your husband, I'm going to lose weight. I joined this new group. It's called No BS. And this crazy, there's these two crazy Southern ladies. And they just yell at us all the time and they cuss. And I don't know what kind of cult I've gotten myself into. And then you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be eating, I think this is still you, sea salt and chocolate. And you're going to be eating waffles and you're going to be fried chicken and gravy. And your husband will be like, what kind of bullshit diet is you really think you're going to lose weight eating this shit? That's what he's going to say. That's what my husband said anyway. I don't know about you, but that's exactly the kind of diet is this? Are we not cutting out carbs? What you doing? I'm like, no. This is what we're doing. I'm gonna work on my doable hunger. I'm gonna eat when I'm hungry. I'm gonna still eat all this stuff. But first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna eat when I'm hungry and I'm gonna stop at enough. That's what I'm gonna do. That's all I'm working on. And your husband's gonna be like, what? And you're gonna say, it's fine. What this is why I told my husband, watch me. You ain't gonna lose weight eating like that. That's what he said. But he's Iranian. He has an accent. He doesn't sound Southern at all. But anyway, I was like, watch me. Watch me. And he did. He watched me. And then I lost weight. So anyway, that's what you're gonna do at first. Not gonna change a thing you're eating. And then so I think this is still you. I'm used to counting points and calories. It's totally fine. I crave sea salt chocolate at the end of my workday. I want to buy it, but I'm afraid to. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Anonymous. Buy one. When you get off work, go get a little square of sea salt caramel. And then eat it at the end of the day. That's fine. Don't be hating. We ain't taking it away. Because here's what happens. Let me tell you what happens. Sea salt caramel, you can't have it, right? Because who's going to lose weight? Eat sea salt caramel. That's crazy. First of all, I have to say this. Oh, you said sea salt chocolate. Sea salt caramel is mine. Whoever did that, whatever person decided that sea salt and caramel went together should win a Nobel Peace Prize. They have saved me. I love that person. And I don't even know who that is. I don't even know who invented it, but I want to say thank you right now. Anyway, but what happens is you eat a piece of sea salt caramel. Chocolate, whatever. I just keep putting mine on you, but whatever. You know what I mean? You have that piece and you're like, oh my God, I've screwed up. I can't have that. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna eat all this. I'm gonna get rid of it. I'm gonna eat it all right now. I'm gonna eat it right now so tomorrow I can start over. That's how we've done it in the past. Now you're gonna eat your piece of sea salt chocolate, aka caramel, and you're gonna say, damn, that was good. I did enjoy that. And then your brain is gonna say, oh, you should. You ain't gonna lose weight doing that. Go ahead, eat it all. Just eat it all. Then tomorrow you can start over fresh. I'm like, I don't have to do that anymore. Cause guess what I get to do tomorrow? I get to have another piece. I can have another piece tomorrow. I don't have to eat it all now. I don't have to start over. Cause it doesn't matter how many points or how many calories. I'm just working on eating when I'm hungry and stopping when I've had enough. See? And I can have it every day if I want to. I can have it every day if I want to. Oh, sea salt caramel with chocolate over it. Yum. Yes, ma'am. We're twins. We're same. Hashtag same. I actually have some in my cabinet right now. And fun fact, if you ever, I say this all the time. If you ever go to Kathy Hartman's house for dinner, if you ever find yourself at Kathy Hartman's house for dinner, one of our coaches here, if you don't know her, they have Dove chocolate sitting right on the middle of their table. And then at the end of dinner, they pass it around, and then you have a piece of chocolate at the end of dinner. That's that. There's that. Because here's the thing, Anonymous. You do not, I don't know how much weight you have to lose. I'm just gonna say you don't have extra weight to lose because you sat down with one amazing piece of sea salt caramel with chocolate over the top of it. Enjoyed the shit out of it. Just enjoyed it, right? Like, just, whoa, it's the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. Enjoyed it and ate it intentionally. You have weight to lose because you ate the whole bag because you were bad because you did it in the first place. It is not the waffles that made you have extra weight to lose. It's because when you ate the waffles, you told yourself, well, I fucked it up now. Guess I'll have to wait till Monday. And you ate like an ass hat, not like Zoom ass hat, but you ate like an ass hat the rest of this week and all weekend to make it to Monday. And then you were up 5 pounds. That was the problem. It was never the waffles. It was never the mashed potatoes and gravy. It was never the fried chicken. It was never the sea salt caramel with chocolate on it. Never. Never, never, never. Was never that. It was the stories. It was the thoughts and feelings we had about it. It meant we were bad. It meant we had fucked up. It meant we were never gonna lose weight. So might as well enjoy myself till I have to buckle down and get serious on Monday or on the first or tomorrow or whatever it is. It's the emotional piece. It's the emotional piece, y'all. Damn, I don't even know what this call was about, but you're welcome. I've had a good time. Anonymous said thank you. And Anonymous, please, 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 this is a great place to get help. Just like you saw, you always come into any call, go into the Q&A and ask the coach the question, because we're always here on every call. And then the other thing that you can do is make sure that you use Ask Coaches, right? Because if you go on the website under coaching, ask coaches, then we'll help you right there too. So there's that. Okay. All right. Oh, Cindy, so close to quitting today. This call has recharged me. Girl, listen, make me a Cindy right now. Put your hand up to the screen. Pinky promise me, if you get to that place again, email me. Girl, I got you. I'm full of things. Advice and yelling and all kinds of things. Yes, if you're ever down or you're ever feeling whatever, just come over to Ask Coaches or hell, email me. I'm right here. Piss and vinegar, honey. Piss and vinegar. Let us know what you need. If you need anything, I'm super excited for the nighttime eating on the 27th. Lizzie's actually going to be there in the chat or the Q&A. Coach Lizzie and Coach Lisa will be there supporting y'all. So let me know what you need. If you ever think about quitting, or you ever like, I'm gonna throw in the towel, I can't figure this out, reach out. God bless. You got a whole team of weight loss coaches being like, I'll help, I'll help, I'll help. Reach out for help. You don't have to do this shit by yourself. That's bullshit. That was old times. This is a new day. You ain't gotta do shit by yourself. Just reach out. If I say I'm quitting, will you show up at my door? I'll at least send you something. I mean, I'll video or something. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day. Let us know what you need. We're all right here to help you. So, all right. I will talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.